Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey guys, it's Allie for the Hollywood Life podcast, and we have a really special episode today as we are going to be focusing on what's going on in Hollywood right now, which is the ongoing SAG-AFTRA strike and the Writers Guild strike. And we have a really special guest after Bonnie and I chat to tell us a little bit more about what is going on, especially live kind of from the picket line. So first, Bonnie, hi, how are you today?
I'm doing good. And listen, Allie, I mean, this is the biggest story in Hollywood. Like, right. You know, there's been news, there's new couples, there's splits, but this really is the thing that's going to impact all of our listeners so much because the way things are going, definitely not going to be new shows this fall because of the combo of the actors and the writers who are both striking. And I want to just say on behalf of Hollywood Life that we totally support both the groups in their needs. And we want them to get a great deal because we want them to be able to continue working.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a few weeks since the actors picked up their protest signs. It's been a few months since the writers did. And, you know, Bonnie, you mentioned that this might be going until December. It's going until the unions can come up with a deal that they can agree to and offer them great working conditions that then these production companies, producers like Netflix, Warner Brothers, HBO, et cetera, can agree to. And we don't know when that's going to be, but thus far, neither side has budged.
No. And, you know, so for those of you who keep listening past our chat, we have a great guest who's actually on the front lines, one of the negotiators for the actors. And he's very experienced at doing this. This is fourth time. And so you're really going to hear like a firsthand what is going on. But in the meantime, like every day, we are seeing photos of big name actors out on the picket lines. You know, I know that David Harbour from Stranger Things was just out. We've seen Susan Sarandon, Jane Fonda, and Lily Tomlin were out together.
Yep, Lucy Liu was out there today in the city. And, you know, we've seen a lot of stars on the picket line, and we've also seen a lot of stars that are sticking up in different ways. So Viola Davis, for example, she just publicly backed out from filming her film that she is starring in and producing called G20. She said it's not appropriate for her and for this production to move forward at this time. And Brad Pitt just did the same for his Formula One movie, Apex. He's pulled the plug and postponing production, which is a massive call, you know, financially. But it's a big move for him. And in the same vein, you'll hear a story from Jack, who we speak to, about a big name star, Tom Cruise, who actually has gone the opposite direction. So it's very interesting to see kind of where these stars are showing their support and where they're kind of being money hungry and not really caring about their fellow actors.
Well, there's also some controversy going on between actors.
Right.
Like, for example, Sarah Silverman, she put out a kind of pretty long Instagram message about how she's upset that certain independent film productions have gotten a waiver from the SAG-AFTRA Guild in order to keep going to keep filming. And she said, I just don't understand. Like, to me, that's work, even though they're small and even though they're saying that when they're finished, that they are never going to sell their productions to a streaming company. I just don't get that. Why are they doing that? And, you know, we've got the story up on Hollywood Live with her Instagram. And she even met with Fran Drescher, who's the head of the union. And they ended up agreeing to disagree.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. And yes, we are seeing, I feel like, stars kind of turn on each other a little bit. I mean, for example, Anne Hathaway's movie is continuing production called Mother Mary and Death of a Unicorn with Paul Rudd and Jenna Ortega, Flight Risk, Mel Gibson and Mark Wahlberg. They all are still under production under the interim agreement, but Jack will explain what needs to be done in order to receive that interim agreement. And it doesn't seem like it's something that is handed off lightly, but at the same time, I agree with Sarah. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of people who aren't getting paid right now for their work, and they're fighting to get paid and they're not working. And, you know, it's interesting when you see these other stars are. So it'll be interesting to find out kind of.
Yeah. And our guest, Jack, and we're going to introduce him to you when we start the second part of our podcast with our interview. But he supports the stars who are working on these independent productions going ahead, because he'll explain why. And Sarah Silverman kind of got the same explanation when she spoke to Fran Drescher. But as I said, she's not fully on board with that situation. And she just feels like so many people are giving up and suffering. And, you know, it's really hard because most actors just don't make a ton of money. You know, they're not people, they're not like Tom Cruise and Angelina Jolie. They're what you call like your working actors.
Right. They're working actors. Exactly. And you know, these stars and working actors have been out on the picket lines, walking miles and miles a day. And
it's been hot. It's been so hot in LA. And there was
New York.
Yeah, in New York. But there was even a report, because they're picketing the studios, that at one studio where they had a lot of shade trees out in front, that they actually trimmed the shade trees. Like, that's so mean.
It's so mean. Getting
shade. Like, that's, you know, that's like medieval tactics.
It's mean. It's mean. And I think that, you know, we see people like Mandy Moore and other actors who have shows on Netflix who receive pennies for their work that we're watching, you know, on repeat. And so they're fighting the good fight. And I guess we'll just have to see, hopefully, you know, these big streamers and big tech companies will come to the table, because already so much has been canceled through the fall. The Emmys have been postponed to January. I'm curious what's going to happen with Venice Film Festival, because that at this point is still happening.
Yeah, the Toronto Film Festival too.
And Toronto Film Festival, those are all still happening. But I'm sure that, you know, the actors have a lot of rules that they have to follow.
They can't promote them. They're not allowed to go.
No.
They can't promote them, because it's not just acting. They actually are prohibited promoting the films. And, you know, I think we saw what happened to Oppenheimer. They were literally in the middle of a premiere over in Europe. And the stars just walked, they got the word, the strike was on, and they walked right out of the red carpet.
Yeah. And, you know, you guys will see listening, I guess, on our podcast over the next few weeks as well. We can't have any actors really come on to talk about their work. They're allowed to talk about maybe if they're promoting something with Fritos or this or that.
They can charity.
Talk about promoting a charity. But they can't talk about their careers and their work. And so it's definitely affecting everybody, and it's affecting how we see and view and hear content right now. And it's a very unprecedented time.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's really important that there be a balance, like that there's more of a balance in power between workers and between, and like the owners, the employers. And, you know, that's been off kilter for a long time. And, you know, workers haven't in general been getting paid what they should. Like we all hear in the news that the 1% has just kept getting richer and richer and richer. Like, and everybody else is not having a fair share in economic gains. And, you know, now since the pandemic, that's changed somewhat. We've seen a number of different industries go out on strike or almost go to strike.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I just, you know, so much has changed so fast over the years that it's hard to keep up with the technology and these companies that are getting a, you know, wanting to get a piece of like these actors essentially that are making them money. And so, but at the same time, they're not willing to pay up because they're these big tech companies and they don't understand art. They don't actually understand what they are getting into. And so that's a big fight right now, I think, between tech and art. That's at the end of the day. And what we really wanted from this podcast is for our listeners to hear the stories of the working actors, not the Margot Robbies and the Brad Pitts of the world, as you mentioned, Bonnie, but the people that need to pay for healthcare and don't have enough money to do that because they're not paid enough from the work that they've done over the years that we continue to watch and they're not getting paid for.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, you know, nobody wants to have their work literally stolen from them. And our guest is going to explain how that is happening, like literally how like they're themselves, they're being kind of, their images are being stolen. Like nobody would want, you know, you wouldn't want to be impersonated and somebody make money off impersonating you. It's kind of like that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I would say to everybody, well, maybe you don't want to keep binging so much right now. Get out and enjoy the weather because it's not like there's going to be new stuff to watch come September.
I know. We're taking our time watching our stuff right now because, as you said, there's going to be, it's going to be slow. A lot of stuff's getting pushed. A lot of stuff's getting suspended. And all of our favorite award shows, that's what I'm nervous about too. The VMAs are supposed to be the second week of September.
That's right. That won't happen.
You can't have, you know, we're talking about SAG, but we're also talking about the writer's strike. And you can't have any of these award shows without writers. They write scripts for everything.
Yep.
Yeah. All of the hosts, they don't write their own scripts.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily allowed to either within these rules. Like you're not, it's a no working strike. So nobody can do it except the people who do it. Yeah, it's crazy.
It really is. And, you know, I think forever, we all want, I think it's only fair that everybody who contributes benefits. You know, that's just the way the world should work. It's like doing any job. You need to be compensated properly for it. And it shouldn't be that only the people on top make all the money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Jack will be explaining even more about this in our podcast interview with him. It's so informational. And
he mentions this, but, you know, The Rock was just incredibly generous and contributed almost like $1 million to a fund to help support the out of work actors and the people, all the people in the union. And they're really hoping that other big stars who can afford it will step up. And so come on, big stars, fork it out for your fellows.
Exactly. Yeah. They can write it off, tax write off. They can afford it.
Tax write off, probably.
True. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Listen up to our interview with Jack. It's great and informative, and everybody should know what's going on in Hollywood.
Yeah. So you understand, you know, what's happening before you sit in front of the big screen in your house.
All right, guys.
Oh, and also, whenever, you know, if you're enjoying our podcast, please, please give us a 5-star rating, give us a review. I mean, give us some comments, give us some feedback. We really love to hear it. Tell us who you want to see on our show. We'd really like to know that.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Hi, guys. We're here with the Hollywood Life Podcast, and we have a really important and fascinating guest here today. And he is an expert in what is going on in Hollywood. That means, why is there a strike on with the actors and also with the writers? But before I introduce him to you, I'm going to say hi to my co-anchor, Ali Stagnita. Hello, Ali.
Hi, Bonnie. Yes, so excited, as always, to have our special guest today. But this one in particular took time off of the picket line to join us. So we're very grateful for that. And Bonnie, I'll let you welcome him to the podcast.
I want everybody to meet Jack Mulcahy. He is an actor, but he is also a member of the TV Theatrical Streaming Negotiating Committee for SAG-AFTRA. AFTRA. Am I pronouncing that right? SAG-AFTRA. And that is the 160,000 strong guild that represents all of the working actors in this business. And he's been very involved in negotiations, and he's done this. This is his fourth. And so everybody say hello to Jack. And thank you so much for coming here today.
You're welcome, Bonnie. It's great to meet you and great to see you again, Ali, or actually for the first time, but we have communicated. The Screen Actors Guild and American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, we represent actors, performers, singers, dancers, recording artists, and I think puppeteers.
That is a lot of different entertainers.
It is.
You know, for our audience who are listening to us, I'm sure that they have heard that there is a strike going on, as well as a writer's strike, and that actors, big name actors, are actually on the picket lines. But they don't really know why this is happening, why they're not going to see their favorite TV and streaming shows coming back this fall, why movies are going to be delayed. So we'd love for you to explain, why is it so important that you're on strike?
Well, I will try. Every 3 years, we try to do a follow-up to the legacy contracts. 2020 was our last negotiation. And as you may recall, we had a pandemic. Yes. And so the entire 6 weeks was on Zoom, 6 hours a day on Zoom for 6 weeks. And I believe at that point, we were so so desperate to get a deal done. And we were also split. Our split attention was to get, you know, COVID protocols back in place, that some of the things that are biting us right now may have slipped through the cracks, particularly artificial intelligence, which just gets smarter and smarter by the day. And so that is one of the main sticking points. It was probably the main sticking point for writers, but for actors, it's a huge sticking point because they can scan us, use our images, likenesses, voices forever. Unless we have informed consent, a fair compensation, and control, because they can scan you and then they can use you as another performer in some other project without having to feed you, to transport you, to house you. So it is a win-win-win for them, not so much for us.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's almost like you're being abducted by aliens, except you're being abducted by the group that's representing all of the studios. I think it's called the Alliance of Motion Pictures and TV Producers.
Correct.
So yes. Can you tell us, Jack, a little bit further about these negotiations? Who exactly does SAG go to the table with every 3 years for these negotiations?
Okay, so in the room is NBC Universal, Warner Brothers, Netflix, Sony, of course, Amazon, Apple, and a full third of the people across the table from us are basically tech companies who have pretty much developed an app when they really think that they've reinvented the wheel.
Sure.
And it's the streaming services that are not paying the residuals that we feel that our actors are due. And they have just flooded the market. They've thrown an awful lot of cash at it. And Silicon Valley has completely wrecked the business model. And so that is what we're asking for. We're asking for fair compensation for our performances and nothing more, really. Well, I mean, there are some other issues that always come up, you know, so like raising the caps on health insurance. But I don't really want to get into the weeds, you know, for your readers, because, you know, that gets a little wonky. It gets wonky for me sometimes. I'm the vice chairman of the National Low Budget Film Committee. So an awful lot of what happens redounds down to what it is that I do and that I have to explain to my membership after that. So we have at least 9 or 10 that are sitting across the table from us at any given time. HBO Max is another one, I should say that, and Warner Brothers. And so basically, I've pretty much covered all of them.
Yeah. And so you guys will be at this table. So the big thing too that I keep seeing is about the residuals. So specifically when it comes to stream.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Whereas I think that I saw somebody getting paid, you know, 30 cents for like a Grey's Anatomy episode. What are you guys asking for these residuals? I mean, it seems to me like you should be getting paid a lot more than 30 cents per episode.
That would be nice. Yes.
Watched.
Yes. Right. I mean, and with network and basic cable pretty much going the way of the dinosaur, the streaming model is really what is happening. And over the last two negotiations, we have tried to get our nose in under the tent to get a piece of that. We haven't really secured what we wanted. However, these companies have just completely flooded the market with content, and they will not show us their analytics. They won't tell us how many views are for the successful shows. I mean, we pretty much can gauge how many subscribers they have, but it's about, you know, a winning the successful shows that we really want to tap into. And I think we're asking for about 2%, and that's really not an awful lot, and will not kill their bottom line. And that would feed and give health insurance to so many other actors out there that, you know, just need to make $26,000 a year to cover themselves. Mm. And when you think about 86% of the actors who actually have the card can't make their insurance, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people, you know, just hear about, oh, you know, Brad Pitt getting paid, you know, $10 million and you know, people like Tom Cruise getting a huge cut of the profits. They don't realize that that's like an eensy beansy number of working actors compared to the majority. And that for most actors, this they're doing it because they love the work, but they're, as you said, they're barely making ends meet.
That's right. And I'm that type of actor who you'll walk down the street, people will recognize me, but they don't know what from. But that's because I have been a working actor. I've got over 150 credits and they're like, oh, you're that guy from that thing that my mother loves, that my dad is crazy about. And what's your name again? You know, and there's so many actors like that. And we're not the $10 million. I mean, you know. I've had some very big movies in my career, and I've had some tiny little career movies in my career. It never determined how happy I was. It was because I was working, right? And what's happening now is that it's a winners and losers. It's a beggars and choosers kind of thing right now. And with the streaming companies, they've kind of like completely dominated the market. And now what I'm hearing, and it was in the trades today, is that Netflix is hinting that they might be interested in making the deal.
Oh.
So there's sharks in the water, there's blood in the water, and, you know, this could happen like it happened to the airline companies and the automobile companies where, you know, nine may shrink down into four or three, and we'll see what happens. But I think that Ted Sarandos, you know, he put out a statement. He says, hey, listen, I come from a union family. My dad was an electrician. I've been on strike. I've been on striking lines. And when it comes to the Tom Cruises, you know, we had an actual Zoom meeting with Tom. And he actually asked us if we could give him a waiver to help him promote Mission Impossible. And we pretty much turned him down. We told him that it would be better if he put on a T-shirt and grabbed a post and a sign and walked the lines with us. That would speak so much more volumes. So, you know, his reaction was uncommitted.
Uncommitted?
Yeah, I think that, like, that's something that we are seeing. Like, where is Tom Cruise? Where is Meryl Streep? Where is, you know, Jennifer Lawrence? They all said that they would support the strike, but yeah, they haven't been on the picket line.
That's right. And, but, you know, you see Dwayne Johnson, you know, The Rock, yeah, he just donated $750,000 to the Entertainment Economic Fund, which is fantastic.
That's right. Fantastic.
I think there's a couple of other people that could probably donate an awful lot more.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tom Cruise.
yeah.
Well, and, you know, I think it's, you know, Jack, you bring up that you've had your big roles, you've had your small roles. And a lot of times, maybe the general public is thinking of the Margot Robbies of the world that are, oh, like, they're doing fine. Like, why is there this strike? But even, you know, you hear Mandy Moore, who was the star of This Is Us that ran for several seasons, and she receives a penny in residuals from streaming. You know, I know, so I think it's definitely a widespread problem. And you see how much, say, Netflix makes monthly from users and subscriptions, that you think they have the funds.
Yeah. I mean, they say that it's gamed out that Netflix will probably clear close to $10 billion this year. Yeah. $12.5 billion next year.
We
had a surge. We
pick up a, like, go and collect money for charity for them.
Right. Well, not to mention Disney on the other hand.
Yes, Disney, notoriously cheap, by the way. So I mean, they've had their issues, and you know, we have our direct, you know, communications with them, and Carol Lombardini, who's their chief negotiator. And sitting across from Duncan Crabtree, Ireland, I have to say it's almost not a fair fight, because Duncan is so, so good at what he does. And to have Fran sitting to his right, who was just a fireball, it was as if, you know, I could sense in the room that, you know, they probably have lost a little confidence in Carol, because they don't know what the model is. They actually don't know how to make movies, to tell you the truth. They're really good at delivering the films, but they're also very good at making money, mostly for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Can you just explain, though, because our audience, again, isn't going to understand. I mean, I'm not quite sure I understand fully either, like, what the model is, because you've said a couple of times that the streaming companies, the tech, like all these tech companies, mm-hmm, have gotten into the entertainment business, that they've destroyed what the model is to make money. Can Correct. You explain what it was and why it's not working now?
Okay. For that, I would have to go back to 1960, when we had the very first really, really big actors strike, SAG. Charlton Heston was at the head of the line. Ronald Reagan was actually the SAG the SAG president at the time. So, and it was to garner residuals for movies that were being shown on television. Okay. And the big thing that we had to give up was anything prior to that, we wouldn't be able to compensate those actors for. But moving forward, we could, which is why we had such a steady and robust residual system after that. And as the contracts go, we got a little bit more and then a little bit more. I mean, I did Porky's in 1981, and I'm still getting residuals from it.
Yay.
So, I mean, we're talking about that's the system. I mean, it's not a lot, because, you know, it's a law of diminishing returns. But, you know, those are the kinds of things that we base our livings on. You know, the working actor lives on residuals. It allows him to make his insurance, but it also allows him to do things like, you know, a little off-Broadway play if he wants. Or he can go out and do commercial calls, or he can, you know, pretty much do anything. And we're not striking commercials, and we're not striking anything net code, network code. You know, and there's so many things that we can do. And we do have this thing called the interim agreement, if you'd like to talk about that later on. But as far as the residuals are concerned, that stopped once streaming got so big. And what happens is that if you'll notice, in the old days of network television, you'd have 22 to 26 episodes, and then they would rerun them during the summer, and then they have a new season by September or October. Now you'll find shows that have anywhere from 6 to 10 episodes, and that's it. That's the end of the season. You might wait another year and a half. With COVID, you might have waited 2.5 years. And those actors are like indentured servants because they can't work on another show until that show starts up again. So I hope that makes it simple enough for your viewers.
It sounds like the old Hollywood, you know, cycle, like how you were trapped within
a contract.
A contract and trapped within even like a, you know, whether it was MGM or a movie company. What do you think? I mean, obviously the problem comes down to these companies just being money hungry and wanting to hold on to their funds, I guess. But, you know, these actors are the ones that are making them the money. Why? What's their holdback? Like, what is the holdup?
Well, the old saying is those that have are loath to give it up.
Sure.
And as I said before, excuse me, I believe Silicon Valley really wrecked the model. Mm-hmm. They saw a cash cow and they jumped on it. And now there's too many cows at the trough. And what happens is that that dilutes down everything, but they're not paying their fair share of the residual stream and structure of new subscribers and successful television shows. I mean, when I think about this guy Gunn, who was on Gilmore Girls for so many years, that thing runs. It's one of the most successful programs on Netflix, and he's getting like $2-3 a check or something like that, which is really, really, really criminal.
Yes, it's stealing.
Yeah,
it basically is stealing, and that's stealing. AI is plagiarism. Let's call it what it is.
Sure.
And, you know, we have other things that we need, the casting process, self-tapes. You know, I am loath to do a self-tape. I love being in the room with casting directors. I am technologically fine. You know, I have the lighting system. I have all that kind of stuff. I can edit, but a lot of people can't.
Right.
And people my age, it just has passed them by and they would rather have somebody do it for them. But it takes an investment, and you also have to have a reader. Right. And sometimes, you know, you run out of friends who want to do it for you.
Right.
And, you know, I know that I'm more successful when I have a professional reader reading with me and not just some friend who's like reading the lines for me.
Right.
So these are that's another aspect. I mean, they say that there's 4 big areas here, but there's really more like 12 that we're like way, way far apart on. So if somebody like Netflix, you know, broke the mold, or these interim agreements that we are acceding to and that we've offered for purely independent productions, then maybe we might see a little bit breaking of the ice.
Do all of the people need to come together to agree, or can Netflix agree and you guys go with Netflix and then wait for what the others do?
We have done that before, but that was before Netflix was part of the AMPTP. So they struck a deal with us, I believe. So we have 2014, 2017. So between 2017 and 2020, I think about 2018, Netflix gave us everything that the producers didn't give us in the 2017 contract. And so from there on, we had those proposals that were sacrosanct. And now that it's now that they're part of the AMPTP, it's a different ballgame entirely. And I think they got in there just to make sure that, you know, when, you know, that that somebody wasn't doing something, the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing. So I'm sure that they wanted to get in there so that they could have a vision of what these other guys wanted. Because, you know, as I said before, Fox doesn't necessarily want what Sony wants, and Netflix doesn't necessarily want what Amazon wants. So,
But they all have to agree.
Now,
they do have to agree, exactly.
When you say again, I'm just going back to the business model that they don't know the Silicon Valley players like the Netflix and Amazons and Apple. Is it that are they spending too much money on the actual production? Like they're making the production so incredible that they're not really saving enough to pay the actors what they should be paid? And is that the issue, or that they're not asking subscribers to pay enough?
That is a great question. They have thrown so much money at so many shows, and they've made an awful lot of bad deals. And that's where the Writers Guild comes in, because of these 6 to 8 short order series. And then they've got writers in the room that are not seasoned. And so they're not getting the best product. And I've heard many, many tales of people who have been on shows for all 6 episodes. And by the 3rd episode, they said, you know what? We're shutting this thing down. Oh, well, for how long? Well, for good.
Why?
That's the question. Is it a tax write down? I mean, who knows? I know 2 friends of mine who knew that, you know, who were on Amazon shows that got cut right before Christmas and said, yeah, we'll see you. Well, we probably won't see you after Christmas. And they had 4 episodes in the can and they couldn't use them at all. So that went away entirely. And there are other shows that people really, really love that are just gone completely from their platforms. And I don't want to speculate, but I do think that there's something going on tax-wise. So
interesting.
Yeah.
What do you, I mean, there's so much at play here, especially with the writers on strike at the same time as the actors, because what exactly are the, and you might not know this since obviously you're with the actors, but are the writers and actors asking for similar things? Are they aligned with their asks, or are they kind of working separately?
Another great question. We are certainly aligned on the artificial intelligence thing, because writing, you could, like, you know, just say anything to a chatbot and, you know, and come away with a script entirely. And we are very, very keen on that as well because of our images. But I think for the writers, it's writers, 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 writers. For us, it's actors, performers, singers, dancers, you know, recording artists, you know, and we have different needs, but we have the same purpose. And that is to get paid what we are worth, what our value is, and to make sure that generations from now are protected from AI, protected from, you know, predatory employers who wish to just pay us as little as possible. I remember one negotiation about 3 years ago, 6 years ago, where one of our chief negotiators was talking about background, and he pointed to the other room when we were like in conference, and he said, you know what, those people across the room, if they didn't have to pay you, they wouldn't. They consider you props that eat, basically. And so that is really, really maddening. And we can't really bargain in good faith for the background community, but we can certainly put the language in the contract that will cover them. And that's what we've been trying to do. And that's why we're in such alliance this time around, particularly because of AI.
Right. It just seems like it's the historic struggle between sort of wealthy owners that just want to pay the least amount that they can get away with to labor. And, you know, this is just, it's another version. It's a very modern version, and it's very high profile. And now I mean, I've heard some people say that the strike could go on till the end of the year. What's your feeling about it? Have you made any progress?
Well, I would need a magic eight ball and a Ouija board and probably still not be able to come up with an answer. I think the most important thing for us is to keep the pressure on, especially publicly. And that's why we're out picketing. I'm walking like close to 6 miles a day. It's like really exhausting. Today I hit Paramount and then I went down to Netflix and then I came back here. So in order to do the podcast for you, as soon as I'm done with this, I have to jump on to our negotiating committee Zoom. But I mean, that's basically the point, is like to get to the point where they can't handle the public pressure. And there has been quite
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quite a bit, and it has not stopped, and it's only going to get greater. Today, on one line, we had Paul Giamatti, we had David Harbour, we had Bill Irwin, we had like so many wonderful A-list guys who've been down, you know, they just come on down, they're very understated, and, you know, but they're there, and they do a couple of interviews, and boom, we pop it up on the website. So.
And the President of the United States, Joe Biden, has come out in support of you as well.
He's a labor guy. He always has been a labor guy anyway. And the thing that we really do have going for us is that public opinion for unions has never been higher in the last, you know, 25, 35 years. So, and, you know, getting back to the labor struggle, historically, think about the people who are working for Ford, and then all of a sudden there's an assembly line. And we don't really need all you guys anymore. But, you know, that was way back then when people were making like a buck an hour or something like that. So,
you know, I think too, Bonnie, just going back to your point of this like struggle between like almost like the arts and tech, that these tech people and Silicon Valley, they don't understand the creative process and like the arts. They aren't, you know, they might like to ingest entertainment, sure, and but they see dollar bills. They don't see the work that goes into it. And then that's, sad. Well, sad for you guys.
Yeah, 88% of the streaming companies are owned by institutional banks. So, and they just keep buying back their stock and keep paying each other. And that's basically where the money goes. I mean, money, you know, is energy. It can neither be created nor destroyed. So when that money goes somewhere, it's got to go. When we lose it somewhere, it's got to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's going, and, you know, think about the economy. It's going into, again, the pockets sort of at the 1%. They can't even spend all that money in order to generate, you know, good things and growth in the economy. It would be much better off for the economy to have it in the pockets of 160,000 guild members.
Exactly.
The independent films that have received waivers. Yeah. And
I'll stop you there.
Okay.
Not a waiver. Waivers are like, you know, a get out of jail free card. This is a collectively bargained agreement. Okay. We're not giving anybody a free pass.
Got it.
The whole thing. They have to be completely independent of the AMPTP for funding, for promotion, for distribution.
Got it.
You can prove that after reading a 70-page document, then we will definitely agree to the terms. If you agree to the terms that we have with the producers right now, that's on the table, to pay the 11% raise, to pay the 2% residuals on streaming, you know, to do all the protections, then fine, we will definitely okay your contract and start filming away. And I encourage people to do that.
Mm-hmm. That was my question, like what people need to do to qualify in that. Yeah. Way.
Exactly. That's what it is. And we have, and since I'm on the low budget film committee, I've helped write the language for the micro contract, which is $20,000 contracts, and then the ultra low, and then the modified, and then the low budget contracts. You can do those projects. As long as you don't have any fingerprints of the AMPTP on them, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. I guess the pressure is really going to be felt when, in about another month, when we're into the fall and there's no new TV to watch. Like, that's really when it's going to hit home, I think, to American viewers and entertainment imbibers. They're going to go, wait a second, I'm not going to see Stranger Things. I'm not going to see this. I'm not going to see that. And they're going to get really bored watching like old stuff. Like,
well, they are. And, you know, and I think we've had enough of the reality thing, you know.
Oh, yeah, that'll be ramped up.
We were so over the reality thing. And they had to cancel the upfronts. They had to cancel the Emmys.
Yeah.
And, you know, they will have no content past the end of September. So, you know, I'm sure the network executives are like doing the calculation and they have their actuarials doing their thing right now. So, you know, they've got to game it out because we're not going away.
Yeah.
How are you guys surviving? Like the actors that just don't, you know, that are not the multi-million dollar actors.
I think people do what they have to do. I'm fortunate enough to have still an awful lot of credits behind me that I do garner residuals. I'm actually producing a film myself. I coach actors as well.
Low budget, right? Low budget.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But one may be in the upwards of $25 million. So not quite low budget, you know, but it is, you know, it is one of those films where maybe one of these guys in the APTP might say, hey, you know, I might want to make a deal on that. And then the other guys in the room are like, going, what do you mean you want to make it? And that is the wedge that we have the strategy so perfectly aligned to have that done. And so, you know, everybody's complaining about, you know, well, you're just going to feed their pipeline. Well, no, because they can't use it unless they agree to the terms that are on the table right now.
Right. The residuals, proper residual,
all of it.
No AI.
All of it.
That's so right. You're on the negotiation committee. So when it comes to compromising, like you guys, you're not compromising. Like it's like this or nothing.
Well, they always say, and this is my fourth negotiation, they always say that the best deal is when both parties walk away unhappy. So, I mean, there are things that we would probably have to give away.
Sure.
But what we're standing on we're standing on principle. I mean, we have diversity issues, too. We have, like, makeup and hair, you know, for people of color that they don't even seem to care about, which is, like, you don't really think about that, but think about that.
You know?
They ask our background actors to show up camera ready. But if you don't like it, if you don't like how the actor looks, you want to change her. But you don't have anybody in hair and makeup who is, you know, well versed in handling hair for people of color. Then, you know, you can burn people. I've heard like these horror stories where their hair gets burned or their makeup is terrible and they look like zombies. And it's just
right.
These are like the issues that you don't really hear about, but we hear about in the room, and they're very, very important to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I really wish you, and I know, Allie, you feel the same way. We all wish you the best of, I won't even say luck, because it's not luck, but the best in your determination to stand firm and to negotiate a deal that is going to, you know, preserve a living for our wonderful American actors and everybody else who's part of the union, so that you can live well and we can have great entertainment.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Jack.
Thank you, Allie. Bonnie.
Thank you.
Great. Is it all right?
And hang in. I know you're tired. Hang in there.
And now to another meeting.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jack.
You guys are great.
Bye.
Bye.